content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is That's a Laugh. For the next half hour, I'll be reading excerpts of funny stories, quotes, and other anecdotes from various sources that we hope will add a few chuckles to your day. Introverts, unite. We are here. We are uncomfortable. We want to go home. A large group of people is called a no thanks. You might be an introvert if you were ready to go home before you left the house. If these quotes from therockle.com sound like you, you might be an introvert. But that's totally okay. No, really. In fact, today's featured author, Mark Drawsbaugh, has advocated for the need to allow introverts to act, well, introverted. In his book, People Suck, A Cheat Code for Introverts, copyright 2023, Mark Drawsbaugh explains why being introverted is likely much more common than we originally thought, and how introverts and extroverts alike can live together in peace and harmony. We'll get started with the introduction. Dedication. To those of you who thought it was your job to be someone else, honor the real you. Foreword. Several famous introverts were invited to write the foreword. None of them showed up. Introduction. This was an easy book to write, because I write at home, where I like it. The hard part comes when someone asks, "Would you be willing to do a presentation about your book?" That's when the alarm bells go off in my head. A presentation? In front of a few hundred people? Why would an introvert want to do that? Of course, being the people pleaser that I am, I say yes. And then I start mentally berating myself. What are you doing, Drawls? You're a hot mess in large crowds. Why did you willingly agree to put yourself in front of another one? As the date of the presentation comes closer and closer, I become obsessed. I prepare and over-prepare. Outlines are written, notes are compiled, and I rehearse repeatedly, over and over, in search of elusive perfection. I'm not the only one who does this. Chris Rock, who is also an introvert, rehearses 6 months for a one-hour comedy special. Of course, he goes out there and nails it. Then he's gone. Poof! Out of there. When I wrote my first book, Deaf Again, it wasn't because I wanted to be an author. I wrote it because I wanted people to understand what it means to be deaf. I had struggled with my deaf identity for a long time, and most of this struggle was unnecessary. Being deaf in and of itself was not the issue. It was lack of awareness on so many levels that made life difficult. Writing a book about it was my way of saying, it doesn't have to be that way. Many people have no idea what it means to be deaf, so I vented. No one gets it. People suck. And then a funny thing happened. After Deaf Again was published, other deaf people appeared out of nowhere, either in person or via email, and floored me with their responses. That's exactly how I felt. I thought I was the only one. My family wouldn't listen to me. I showed them your book, and now they get it. Oh my God, it's like we're the same person. Thank you. You gave me license to be me. Writing about the deaf experience turned out to be rewarding in an entirely different way than initially expected. One of the underlying messages, we can't always change the way others perceive us, but we can change the way we perceive ourselves. And we must embrace ourselves for who we truly are. That was a powerful experience. It was time to move on. Or so I thought. Several years later, I ranted on Facebook about common misconceptions, ignorance, and all those people who just don't get it. But this rant had nothing to do with being deaf. I had merely shared my frustration as an introvert. A lot of people have no idea what it means to be an introvert. So I vented. No one gets it. People suck. And then a funny thing happened. After that infamous Facebook rant, other introverts appeared out of nowhere, either in the comments section, in person, or via email, and floored me with their responses. I'm the same way. You're not the only one. It's like we're clones. People don't understand that I have to recharge. A good TV show and a glass of wine is all I need. I was surprised at how many people said that they, too, preferred a good book over a night on the town. What hit me was how so many of these people appeared to be anything but introverted. I wouldn't have known if they hadn't told me. But there's one big difference. As a deaf person, I'm empowered. I face ignorance every now and then, but I know how to advocate for my rights. As an introvert, I get weird looks when I try to explain myself. I still struggle in a world that's biased towards extroverts. It doesn't have to be that way. Before the next chapter, a few more quotes from therockle.com and darlingquote.com. My favorite party trick is not going. I came. I saw. I left early. Home is where the introvert is. And now on to the chapter, How to Use This Book. Part 1. It's complicated. How to use this book. When this book was in the early stages of completion, some people expressed concern about the title and content. People suck. Are you serious? How many people do you want to alienate with that? Just for the record, I'm not an angry grandpa shouting at kids to get off my lawn. I cherish every individual person in my life. Groups, on the other hand, are more complicated. Introverts can, and do, enjoy large gatherings, but only to a certain extent. There are times when we're fine with it, and there are times when we need a break. And then there are times when we suck it up, go against the grain of who we are, because we feel pressure to conform. Sometimes the pressure gets to us, and we feel burned out. It's nothing personal. We just need some alone time. Besides, if you do an internet search for people suck, you'll find some pretty cool t-shirts and coffee mugs. As for the content of people suck, there were some reservations as well. How are you going to help any introverts? Good luck getting them out of the house. One of the cool t-shirts has a solution for that. Introverts unite, separately, in your own homes. But seriously, is this book really going to help anyone? Does it need to? There's an introvert page on Facebook called Understanding Introverts. The conversations and jokes are eye-opening. One of the themes that struck me was the constantly posed question, who said that introverts have to change? That got the gears in my head spinning. Why are there so many books and self-help articles for introverts? Why isn't there an article titled An Extrovert's Survival Guide, How to Think Before You Speak? Or even Calm the F Down, An Extrovert's Guide to Relaxing Vacation Getaways? I thought I had the answer to the above questions. We're outnumbered. It's an extrovert-dominated world. It's the outspoken extrovert who often gets the promotion because he tooted his own horn. Introverts aren't fond of tooting. It's more complicated than that. Most articles and books will tell you that introverts are in the minority, and my initial research indicated 25% to 40% of the population is introverted. But something gnawed at me. While tossing around ideas for this book, I asked some of my more extroverted friends for feedback. A lot of times they wound up saying, "Wait a minute, that's not exclusive to introverts. I'm the same way." Many of them insisted that they, too, wanted nothing more than to plop down on the couch after a tough week at work. They, too, had no patience for meetings that could have been an email. They, too, preferred working from home. Could it be that they, too, are also introverts, at least to some degree? Our society rewards extroverted behavior. It's possible that many of us are actually introverts who put on an extroverted mask, go to the old 9-to-5, and then crash at the end of the day. I dug deeper into my research. Aha! According to Introvert Power by Lori Helgo, Ph.D., data from the MBTI manual indicated introverts comprised of 50.7% of a significant sample size. A more recent sample of the MBTI Step 2 manual had it at 57%. There may be more of us than initially thought. Who knows what the exact numbers are? But I can say without a doubt that there's a perception. We perceive the world as more extroverted because of a value system that promotes extroverted behaviors. But again, that begs the question, do we have to change? As if we owe anyone anything because our personal traits don't match someone else's ideal? You don't owe anyone anything. Take this book for what it is, a guide, not an obligation to change. It has tips and strategies on how to coexist with extroverts. There are simple, refreshing ways you can keep being you without compromising your authentic self. You can read this book from front to back, or you can jump to whichever chapters appeal to you. You can also refer back to the cheat code at the end of the book anytime. Apply whatever is useful. Enjoy! More quotes about being an introvert from darlingquotes.com. Tips on how to talk to me. Please don't. Why would I want to go big when I could go home? And now the next chapter, Wipe Out on a New Wave. As a teenager in the early 1980s, my progressive sensory neural hearing loss took me from hard of hearing to flat out deaf. It became much harder to socialize with my hearing friends and classmates. Note, those who were members of the signing deaf community are not too fond of labels such as hearing loss and hearing impaired. These terms have a negative slant, zeroing in on the ears and ignoring the whole person. As someone who later became part of the deaf community, I understand that. At the same time, for those of us who are late deafened, as I am, or are not members of the deaf community, it can and does feel like a hearing loss. There was one thing I had that many other late deafened teenagers didn't: deaf parents. My parents understood my struggle. They knew I was drowning in the hearing world. They threw me a lifeline. "We're going to a special event next Sunday," my mom told me. "There's a deaf teenage social club called The New Wave. It meets once a month. You'll feel much better meeting other deaf kids just like you." It's supposed to be that simple? We showed up at the event the following Sunday. My mom dropped me off. Left me to fend for myself is more like it. I looked around, and initially, I was pleasantly surprised. Everyone communicated in sign language. For the first time in a long time, I was in a group situation where I could clearly understand what everyone said. Up until that point, I could only manage one-on-one conversations. But on this day, everyone's words were crystal clear. A new world had opened. For once, I was in a place where I belonged. Or so I thought. The level of access I had, compared to events where I was the only deaf person, was off the charts. But there was one problem. I ran out of stuff to say. How messed up is that? My parents went out of their way to find a group of people who were exactly like me, and I responded by turning into a wallflower. I was okay with the two people I actually knew at the event. The other 30 people, not so much. There was a lot of small talk, and it made me uncomfortable. "Yes, it's a beautiful day. The sun is shining," and there's not a cloud to be seen for miles. Yes, a thunderstorm will move in tomorrow. It was on the news. Yes, the Phillies won yesterday. That was also on the news. Why is everyone talking about stuff we already know? I was like Lieutenant Commander Data, the naive android in Star Trek, The Next Generation. Data was always fascinated with human nature, but struggled to emulate it. And there I was, doing exactly the same thing, wanting to belong, but having no idea how. Some people tried to get a conversation going with me, but I was like a turtle that stuck its head back into its shell. Anytime someone asked a question, I responded with a simple yes or no. I didn't have the ability to reply with something that kept the conversation going. It's a game of verbal volleyball, and I suck at volleyball. For whatever reason, I felt like I was supposed to say something deep or meaningful. I could not fathom a whole conversation of small talk. It's like when I first got access to music lyrics thanks to captioning and the internet. I was in for a shocking surprise. Whenever I saw a band playing in front of a large, enthusiastic crowd, I figured that band must be singing stuff that's really deep. Because, look at that crowd! They're going nuts! But it was not what I thought it was. The first time I got a glimpse of the lyrics to several rock songs, I was disappointed. There was a lot of, yeah, 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 and baby, 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 with some, I gotta have you so bad, sprinkled in. That's it? Seriously? There's got to be more to it than this. One exception. Prince. That guy just blew me away. The metaphors in his lyrics were, and always will be, pure genius. It took me a moment to figure out that Little Red Corvette wasn't really about a car. Brilliant! But there was no genius at this party. I stood there like a moron. I was in this place where I fit in perfectly with everyone around me, yet I couldn't hold a conversation. I wanted to go home. The kicker? 30 years later, I bumped into Sharon, who was there at that New Wave event. 3 decades after the fact, my social skills had improved enough to the point where I could talk with her for more than 2 minutes. So, of course, she mentioned the New Wave group. I cringed, not wanting to go back there. "I remember seeing you at that get-together," Sharon said. "You didn't say much." "Yes, I remember seeing you there," I confirmed. "You looked like you didn't want to be there," Sharon continued. She wasn't wrong. And then she dropped the hammer. "It seemed like you thought you were better than us." "Yeah, I know. Wait, what? You barely said a word, like you couldn't be bothered." "Oh, God, no. I was lost in that group. I had no idea what to say." We laughed it off, and all was good. But the realization hit me hard. As a teenager, I had unknowingly given off a vibe that said, unapproachable. In retrospect, I learned a valuable lesson. Do the little things that build relationships, and while you're at it, be genuine. If you show up at an event anywhere, smile. If you feel awkward, say so. There's no shame in it. If anything, that'll break the ice. I wish I could go back in time, because here's the perfect conversation that never happened. "Hi, I'm Sharon." "I'm Mark. Nice to meet you," said with eye contact, a polite smile, and handshake. "What brings you here?" "My mom. She dropped me off 10 minutes ago. It's awkward. I'm a flaming introvert and have no idea what to say to anyone." "You're funny. Come with me. I'll introduce you to my friends." Keep being you, and let things flow naturally, one small step at a time. And the next quotes are from TheRockle.com and DarlingQuotes.com. Being an introvert is basically liking your friends, but wanting them to leave at the same time. Every room is an escape room when you're an introvert. Sorry, can't talk. I talked to 2 people yesterday. And the last chapter for today, Dumb Stuff I Have Done. Prior to writing this book, an advisor recommended bouncing a few ideas off some trusted friends and colleagues. One of the people I consulted with was on the fence. He said I might have a unique story angle, but cautioned that this topic has been written about to death. That's true. There are a ton of introvert-related books and articles out there. Is this book overkill, or does the number of resources reflect a high demand? I turned inward. I looked at my own behavior and decided that, yes, this book had to happen. I've done some dumb stuff. There have been times when extroverts questioned what I was doing, and there have been times when even I questioned what I was doing. It warrants a closer look. Here's an example. One day, as I pulled into the parking lot of my favorite convenience store, I saw a familiar face. It was my son's former elementary school teacher. Not just his former elementary school teacher, but his favorite elementary school teacher. I hadn't seen him in 8 years. Seeing this teacher made me immediately wax nostalgic. That teacher is one of the great ones, whose lessons extend far beyond the classroom. He's a man of great character. Many of the life lessons my son learned have come from this guy. It's a gift to have such a great mentor and role model. As I saw the teacher walking toward the store, I was overcome by a wave of gratitude. I truly appreciated the profound impact he has had on my son. It would be so great to say hello after all these years and say the thank you this man so greatly deserves. So I kept driving to another store 10 minutes away. Because, damn it, I just want my coffee. There's no way I'm getting into a 20-minute conversation at a convenience store. There's more. This sequence has happened more than once. Hey, Draws, we're getting together at the pub tonight. You in? Sure, why not? I don't show up. The following week, the guys get together again at the pub. Without me. Hey, I protest. How come no one invites me anywhere? I don't deny this seemingly irrational behavior. I've done it. A lot of introverts have done it. There are just times when we need to shut it down, and it doesn't go over well with society at large. Just to be clear, it's not them. It's me. This is not a cliche. It's really me. It might be my need to recharge. Or it might be my lack of preparedness. I don't like being caught off guard or having to change plans at the last minute. My introvert brain doesn't process surprises that well. That teacher I drove away from, I would have verbally stumbled all over myself if I had said hello. I have since mentally prepared a thank you speech for the next time we cross paths. I'm ready for him now. Here's one more that won't go over well with my wife, Melanie. She has long suspected that I avoid the phone. I have long denied it. She's right. We're deaf. We use a video phone. Introverts are already averse to unexpected, random phone calls where you have no idea what the person on the other line wants. With video phones, you actually have to look at that person. Not good. There have been times when I walked into our home office, sat at the desk, and started working on one thing or the other. Then the light on the video phone goes off like a disco ball at Studio 54. I get the hell out of there. Why didn't you answer the phone? Melanie asks. Someone called? I was in the bathroom. I shrug. Melanie rarely reads any of my books. I'm taking a huge risk by assuming she's not going to read this one either. I do it with the neighbors, too. I actually love them. They're the nicest folks on the planet. We always say hello, bake cookies for each other, and all that other stuff good neighbors do. But again, there are times when I just don't have the ability to engage. If I'm in recharge mode, I don't talk much. And just like with the phone, sometimes I'll go out of my way to avoid an interaction. This is normal for introverts. But when you're riding on a lawnmower, it gets comical. The guys on my street have this synchronized internal clock where we all seem to go out and mow the lawn at exactly the same time on the same day. It's uncanny. I don't mind saying hello, but if we're all mowing at the same time, there are going to be several moments when we pass each other as we ride our mowers up and down our respective lawns. To the neighbors, this isn't a big deal at all. For me, it feels awkward. There have been times when I've stepped outside with the intent to mow the lawn, only to do a complete about-face when I notice some other neighbors are already out there. I go back into the house and do something else. There have also been times when I was the first one out in the yard, and then other neighbors came out a short time afterward. When that happens, I try my best to limit the interaction to one simple, "How you doing?" I even mow in a specific pattern to keep the interaction to a minimum. I call it the drawls maneuver. I think the neighbors have noticed. "Is Mark okay? He's been mowing in circles for 10 minutes. There are times when I genuinely wonder if there's something wrong with me. I'm always relieved to find out I'm not the only one when it comes to puzzling introvert behavior. There's a great article online titled 6 Weird Things Introverts Do That Are Actually Completely Normal by Elena Sidarovich. It can be found in Jen Greneman's Introvert Dear website. Look it up. A lot of the things Sidarovich shares are similar to what I've just disclosed. I hope this book likewise delivers a sense of "I'm not the only one" to those who read it. And a few final introvert quotes from TheRockle.com. "Sometimes I wish it was socially acceptable to just start reading my book in the middle of having company at my house. The only thing I bring to social gatherings are excuses to leave early." First rule of the introvert club: there is no introvert club. Thank goodness. We've run out of time for today's episode of That's a Laugh. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please be sure to listen next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. That's a Laugh is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Are you enjoying the show? Do you have any humorous quotes or authors you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments about this or any other NCRS shows, please call us at 919-832-5138. Our number, one more time, is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.